stop and pause and think upon what it means to be dependent. Dependence is something that is sometimes foreign, especially in our culture. We were founded on independence. You've heard me say that before. Now, self-reliance isn't all bad. I mean, we all celebrated when our kids got to the point where they weren't needing diapers, right? I mean, when you get your kids potty trained, everybody's grateful that they can actually go to the bathroom by themselves, and they start to dress themselves and become a little more self-reliant. Those are all good things. Yet God had never intended for us to be disengaged and independent from Him. He never wanted us to be separate from a deep, lasting, abiding relationship. And I think a lot of that stems, some of this stems, because we are not reverent, oftentimes. We do not fear the Lord in a healthy way. I think that becomes sort of the source of what it means then to be dependent upon God. If we revere Him, if we fear Him appropriately, it sort of facilitates a dependence upon Him. And that fear, that dependence, enhances the relationship that we have with Jesus that He desires for us. You see, when man was created, God desired relationship. When man was created, God desired deep relationship. Do you remember in the garden? And Adam and Eve chose to be their own filter of wisdom, of knowledge. Adam and Eve chose to work and act independent of God. And sin was introduced. And there was an unhealthy fear that was introduced. If you remember, God's intention didn't change. He desired that relationship. And Adam and Eve, when they made that decision, what did they do? When they heard God walking on the earth, they hid. They were afraid. They were fearful. They went and hid. That fear enhanced a disengagement, enhanced a separation of relationship. And yet God sent Jesus to restore His original intent of relationship and representation on the earth. And so Jesus came and He gave Himself to restore and reconcile man to the Father. God desires a healthy fear. It's defined this way. I found out in, what is it, Wikipedia? Here's how the world defines fear. Fear is an emotion induced by a perceived threat which causes entities to quickly pull far away from it and usually hide. It is a basic survival mechanism occurring in response to a specific stimulus, such as pain or the threat of danger. That's what Adam and Eve were demonstrating, a fear, a disengagement. They were running away from a threat. However, the fear of the Lord is defined as fear conjoined with love and hope, and is therefore not a slavish dread, but rather a filial, son or daughter reverence. A holy fear is enjoined also in the New Testament as a preventive of carelessness in religion and as an incentive to penitence. That fear of the Lord, to be reverent and understanding who He is, that when we hear His name, when we think of Him, it causes our hearts to bow. And oftentimes, I think we need to be bowing our knees a lot more than we do. The fear of the Lord is one that engages us in relationship. Tozer said, "In olden days, men of faith We're said to walk in the fear of God and to serve the Lord with fear. However intimate their communion with God, however bold their prayers, at the base of their religious life was the conception of God as awesome and dreadful. This idea of God transcendent runs through the whole Bible and gives color and tone to the character of the saints. This fear of God was more than a natural apprehension of danger. It was a non-rational dread, an acute feeling of personal insufficiency in the presence of God Almighty. Wherever God appeared to men in Bible times, the results were the same, an overwhelming sense of terror and dismay, a wrenching sensation of sinfulness and guilt. When God spoke, Abraham stretched himself upon the ground to listen. When Moses saw the Lord in a burning bush, he hid his face in fear to look upon God. Isaiah's vision of God wrung from him the cry, "Woe is me." Daniel's encounter with God was probably the most dreadful and wonderful of all. Conversely, the self-assurance of modern Christians, the basic levity present in so many of our religious gatherings, the shocking disrespect shown for the person of God, are evidence enough of deep blindness of heart. Many call themselves by the name of Christ, talk much about God, and pray to Him sometimes, but evidently do not know who He is. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. But this healing fear, is today hardly found among Christian men and women. I will confess to you that much of my life, I don't revere God like I should. It's one of the most difficult things for me to do, I think. I don't know if it's familiarity, growing up in the church, but I think this is what we need in our world today, as a healthy fear and reverence for the person of God. And it's not a dreading meeting Him. If you look at all these examples that Tozer gives, did any of them run? Did any of them disengage in the relationship? It was a reverence that brought them to their knees, brought them to being laid out flat on the ground. Knowing who God was and who they were. This morning, let's dwell upon that. Let's think about that. Let's meditate on that. And God, allow God margin to speak to us what is on His heart for us this morning. We're going to put up a couple verses. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through His Word. He's good like that. He desires that. And then a little later, we'll take communion together. God said, examine yourself. Examine your heart. That you would know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That you would enter this time with Him in purity. We're going to take a couple more minutes before we take together. And I'd like for you to examine your heart. Once again, give God margin to speak. I can't help but think of the intimate setting. Jesus with His disciples, teaching them, instructing them, encouraging them, and yet all the while knowing what was about to occur. And the angst of the people, the guys there probably saw, felt, knowing that Jesus knew of something that was going to occur. And yet He never stopped loving. Never stopped teaching. It didn't slow Him down. And He took the bread and He gave them an illustration said, "This is my body, broken for you." And the heart that said, "I will do this for you because I love you that deeply and desire relationship." Let's remember the body that was broken for us. Being the blood, that without blood there's no forgiveness of sin. The eternal blood of Jesus Christ spilled on our behalf forgives sin. Think about that. Every sin that you will ever commit, that have committed, every sin that you even know of or are unaware of has been covered because Jesus spilled his blood. And he said, with this blood comes the new covenant. Everything that's involved in the new covenant, including God himself taking residence in the heart of every believer. Symbol of the blood. What a beautiful thing. Let's take and drink together. What you must solemnly realize, what you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this time and time again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. We're going to take some time now, and if you desire to be prayed with, to be prayed over, we're going to be up here. Please take advantage. If not, don't let familiarity breed contempt. Continue in that place of intimacy, of communication. God desires it. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. God desires intimacy with you. Take advantage.